Will you notice what takes place? Let me read verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. If you'll notice, the Lord said, the Lord is with thee, not with us, not with the nation at this time, because the nation is in apostasy. But Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, notice how pessimistic he is, and then how wrong that he is. He says, if the Lord be with us, he said, the Lord has forsaken us. But the truth of the matter is, they had forsaken the Lord. He asked the question, where are all those miracles our fathers told us of? And look at our condition today. Now, the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? This is the call and commission of this man. And God says, I'm calling you. And I'm of the opinion when the Lord appeared to him and said to him, O thou mighty man of valor. I think Gideon looked up at him and he said, he couldn't be talking to me. And he must have looked around him to see if there wasn't somebody else there, and there wasn't. And Gideon says, Who? Me? You don't mean to say that I'm a mighty man of valor? And he had a real inferiority complex. And Gideon was skeptical, he was cynical, he's weak, and he's a coward. Now the Lord commissions him. And this man, Gideon, just didn't believe that God could use him. Listen to him. Verse 15 now, and I'm in the sixth chapter of Judges, and I mustn't forget that either. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Now, he belonged to the tribe of Manasseh. They had the land north of Jerusalem. Manasseh was one of the sons of Joseph. But notice what he says here. My family is poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. In other words, he just couldn't believe that God could use him. He honestly felt he was the last man in Israel to be used of God. And you want to know something? He was right. Our problem today, friends, is most of us are too strong for God to use us. Most of us are too capable for God to use us. You notice God only uses weak men. That's exactly what he says. God uses weak men. And you find over in 1 Corinthians 1, listen to what we have here in verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. God chooses weak men. That's the reason he used all these judges. Not one of them was capable, not one of them outstanding. Does that encourage you, friend? May I say to you, a great many of us today, we look at ourselves, and then we look at others, and they say, Oh my, God couldn't use me. And a great many is staying on the sidelines today, and they ought to be out being used of God, because God can use them. And we find in verse 28, And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to pass things that are. Now, why does God do that, that no flesh should glory in his presence? And friends, any Christian worker that's proud, there's something wrong with him. Because God does not use the flesh. Anything that This poor preacher does in the weakness of the flesh and then boasts of it. May I say to you, God hates it. He despises it. He can't use it. God wants weak vessels. And that's the only kind that God will use. Moses, you remember, told the Lord at first he thought he could deliver Israel. You remember he went out and slew the Egyptian when he was beating his slave, and Moses thought he could deliver Israel then, but God trained him 40 years out on the desert. He said he didn't think he could do it. God says, then you're just ready for it. I can use you. And you remember Elijah. We think of him as being very strong. Read the call of Elijah. He walked into the court of Ahab and Jezebel, that it'll not rain these years, but according to my word, he just walked out. Sounds pretty brave. But God put him out by a little brook, Kirith. And there that man saw that brook dry up, and he found out that his life was a dried up brook. And then he looked down in that empty flour barrel, but he could sing the doxology when he did. And God fed him and with his family out of that empty flour barrel. Why? Because God chooses weak things. And you remember Simon Peter said, depart from me, Lord. He'd failed the Lord so many times. He says, depart from me. Get somebody else you can depend on. Lord Jesus said, I'm going to use you. God uses weak things. He took a little baby in the bulrushes and a baby in Bethlehem over against Caesar Augustus. And then he called that man Saul of Tarsus, you remember. And he used him. And he brought him to the place where he saw that he was nothing. And someone has said that the very interesting thing is Nero's on the throne and Paul is the one that's being beheaded. And it looks like he's lost out. But you know, history's already handed in its decision. Men named their sons Paul and they call their dogs Nero. Quite interesting, is it not? Will you notice this man here is called a god, and he is a pretty weak individual. And God says to him, you're going to be the one that's going to deliver. And now God begins to train this man. And the way that he trained him, he had to overcome the fear and develop courage and faith in the man to strengthen his feeble knees and to make him patient.